Welcome back to another Sunday Goes After Feature. And today I have a fabulous guest. This film's not the easiest for me to find, but it is available on Tubi and Fossum and a few other places. But run a Google search. It's easy to find. The film's called The Shimmian. I have James Beekman here. Welcome.
Thank you very much. Thanks. Glad to be here.
So I was thinking to myself after watching it, trying to do some research, this came out of your head. There's nothing about this thing. So this whole thing is you. So where do the origins of this film come from? Where does the idea come from? Basic things like that to start.
Okay, so The Shimmian came from a short film with the same name. So we did a short film and we had to think of a creature. And I remember being in, well, I used to live in China for 5 years, work over there. And if I remember correctly, the Shimmian was a demon that doesn't allow sleep. And it's a Chinese thing. And then when we were coming up with the short film, we used a name, and it's actually the short film is about Lady Blatty, who is in bed and she's tormented while in bed and she can't sleep. It's actually the story that's used in the feature film that Claire talks around at the campfire. She actually tells the story of the short film. So it all comes from creating this myth, like using a bit of the Chinese myth with my own and sort of mixing it all together, and then kind of coming up with this sleepless forest demon thing.
So is prepping the short film, did that help you make the feature, or you just went off totally in a different direction?
Pretty much totally in a different direction. There was no intention to make the feature while making the short film. It was just something that we decided to do. And then it was like, after a series of short films, it was like, okay, let's make a feature film. And it was that the short film was one of our favorites. So we just thought, well, why can't we develop that more and use the sort of concept of that into something completely different and grow from there, I suppose.
So when you're doing your prep work, I mean, obviously a short film, it's not saying the easiest thing to prep, but you got a little small window. You can do it probably in a day, maybe 2 days. A feature, we're looking at more 3 to 10, 3 to 5, 3 to 15 even. Sometimes over a month. How did you find the difficulties going from short to feature?
It is considerably more difficult because of the planning involved. And when you're doing a low budget indie film, you know, sometimes some of the crew that you're working with have other jobs to go to.
Yep.
So the arrangement around everybody's time when we can all get together. And with The Shimmian, I can't remember exactly how many people were in the crew, but it was at least 15, and then the actors as well. And organizing everybody together and the location that we're allowed to film in, took a lot more than a short film. Because short film, we could just do in one night. In fact, the short film was done in one night.
There we go.
And so the feature film took, it was over a month, I think, just trying to get everybody together. Yeah.
Okay. I love how your cast works. I mean, you have the main family. And obviously the daughter has to have a friend. And if you have kids, you totally relate to that, which I did. Do you know what I mean? And I just thought the friend was so unique, and it was somebody I didn't expect.
Yeah. Margot played, the character's Claire, isn't it? The friend. And Margot played her really, really well. And being Chinese and not having fluent English and just added something a little bit different to that character. We found somebody for Sophie, or Emma, as she's called in the film, character to play off and have that extra person, and to have that sort of Claire is very much a ball of energy, where like totally opposite to the other character. So it's kind of like balancing it all out.
So when you were writing that, did you allow that to happen naturally, or is that a plan you had all the whole along to have a very different character?
Definitely thought about having a different character there. However, it was improved a lot by Margot, who played the character. She was very upbeat, very energetic, and brought that level of cuteness or some, if that's the right
I
word, to that
understand.
character. Yeah. And but it was something that was on paper to begin with, but she just elevated it like so much more.
Well, that's great. I mean, I also, as a writer, I mean, they're just honestly words on a page. I mean, you have a vision for
Yeah.
somebody, but until you really cast that person, you don't have a vision, I would say. You have an idea, and then it's create like,
Yeah.
oh, that works for me, and they can bring something you didn't see, and that's what you want to see as a writer, I would think.
Yeah, I mean, for me, also being tasked with directing these films, I always feel that the actor will understand the character a lot more than me by the time we come to shoot it, because obviously they've had the script to read, they've done rehearsals, they've sat with it at home and really studied that character and developed new ideas for that character. So when they come on to the set and they perform that character, it's great because they have bought something that I haven't even thought of, and you know their own unique portrayal of it. That yeah, the bare bones are in the script, but then they just, like I say, elevate it so much more, and it's great to see. Like sometimes,
Now, I find your main two characters, I thought that was based on your life a little bit. The dialogue and the banter. I'm like, he's had these conversations with somebody. Not saying it was a wife. I'm saying maybe you've heard it from somebody, or you know what I mean? It just felt very real to me, the conversations.
Not really, not really.
Really
It
interesting. Good
was,
writing
yeah,
then.
it was, yeah, Tony was, we just wanted him to be an everyday guy, you know, like somebody that most fathers could relate to, I think, having the relationship with the daughter. And the Sarah character was brought in to slightly disrupt that, but not in a mean way or an intentional way. It's just she's in there that's getting between the father and daughter element of things. I mean, it's underliningly, it's quite deep for a horror film, you know, like
I
all
would
these
say
family
so.
issues and family time. It's a horror film could just normally just be a lot of blood and guts, particularly when at independent level. So it isn't like more of a slow burner, because obviously we're trying to make the characters have something that you actually care about them before all the bad stuff happens. That was my goal with all that stuff.
Okay, so I guess we should discuss the big monkey, the forest. I mean, you spend a
Yeah.
lot of time in this forest. Where is the forest? How'd you find it? And how was shooting in it?
The forest is actually really small. There was a an estate house. The best way of describing it would be like a smaller version of the Downton Abbey house, where it's like they own the land all around it and everything. And one of the crew members knew the owners of this land, and they allowed us to film in their woods, but it was very, very small, and we could only shoot in half of it because they were raising pheasants or something. They were very protective of the wildlife in one half of the forest, so we could only have that little bit over there. So we are giving it away now. They're kind of walking around literally in the same area. It's just different angles of it.
Okay. I mean, you've been through a forest. I've been through a forest. They kind of look the same for the most part. I mean,
Well,
trees will
yeah, but we
adjust
got away with
levels occasionally, but I mean, you're shooting in a
it. Yeah.
forest. I mean, I would assume usually you don't walk too far in most films, so you gotta kind of have a benefit of the doubt.
Yeah, it was all camera trickery, but yeah, we could get away with it because a tree's a tree.
Exactly. I want to go back to right at the beginning. You have a drone shot at the beginning, if I'm correct, when you're shooting over the cars.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Okay. Now,
Yeah.
you had a lot of cars in this scene, a ton of cars. Is that all the crew's cars?
Yes,
Okay.
and a few extra people, family members, and anybody that we could convince to come and park their car down that road that day.
I was
Yes,
wondering
there
if that
was.
was it. I had to ask. I'm like, there's no way you got this set off the easy
In fact,
way.
I'm actually walking there. I'm walking in that drone shot as it drones into the main cast car. It's me walking down that way, and I think it's the sound operator walking the other way. And then the producers in the car behind that you can see in the window. Yeah, it's all our cars, and it was all anybody that we could get hold of, basically.
So, did you hike your woods ahead of time, being a director, to know where your shots were, or you just sort of said, okay, we're going to do this today, not tomorrow?
Yeah, we went down a few times to pick the areas that this is going to be where they're going to set up camp. This is going to be they can walk through here for that particular scene. They can get over here to that scene. So yeah, there was recce involved, but like I say, it was a very, very small area, so it didn't take that long.
Was it buggy?
No, not really. No,
Oh, that's
we
a
don't
break
really
for
we. Yeah, we don't really have all, we don't have to worry about poisonous snakes over in the UK or anything like that, or any dangerous animals in our forests. So, apart from simians, obviously.
Yeah,
But
so I was more worried about mosquitoes.
no, nothing like that.
Okay. Now, how big an Arthur Brown founder are you?
Not massive, I wouldn't say. No.
Okay, because I already
Did you
know the
see?
one
Yeah.
song, so I had to ask. I'm like,
Okay, no, I don't know.
Fire, you play the song Fire, that's Arthur Brown.
But I'm not a big fan. It was just literally that actually come from something else, which I can't remember. It was a fine, and it was Tony, the character Tony, played by Blake, who used to be in a band. In fact, the song over the car scene that you mentioned, the drone shot of the cars and
Yes.
stuff, the song that's playing over that is actually Blake, who plays Tony, singing that song.
Oh, I
And
didn't know that.
it was something, it was his band playing that, and it was a connection with the fire. The doo-doo. Oh,
Yeah.
I know what it was. It was from a sitcom in the UK, called Men Behaving Badly, where they're sitting around and they're making it and they keep going, fire, doo-doo-doo. And that was a
Yeah.
very popular sitcom of our generation. So Tony could probably reference that. Yeah, it's been a long
Blake,
time since the shimmy, and so I have to remember all this stuff.
I'm sorry, I just discovered it last
Yeah,
week, so I have to ask when I went.
well,
Should have
I'm
got a
glad
hold
you
of me
did.
sooner. I want to
Yeah.
discuss your lighting at night. I wonder we use the word clean. Usually I get a lot of grainy stuff, and this is not great. So I want to know, did you play a trick on me and shoot it and adjust it, or are you just a very good lighter?
I would say, well, very good lighter. It was actually at night, and it was heavily lit, I think.
I think so too.
It took a while to set up, particularly that the campfire and a night type of stuff. There was quite a few big lights going on at the time, and trying to get that bluey moonlight. It was almost like a surreal blue, though. It wasn't really the right temperature for moonlight. It was trying to add something a little surreal about the forest where it's not normal, if that makes sense. So if you look at the moonlight and stuff of the night scenes, it is very blue, cold looking.
Yes. I didn't know if that was an added color in post or not. That's what I was going for there.
No. In fact, the night scenes were very, very little post in regards to color were used, because it was all there.
Oh, okay, great.
When you light it that way, you don't have to grade so much. So it was very, very little grading going on there.
Okay, so let's go back to the beginning of the film. Before we have meet the family, you have a beautiful set of stairs leading down.
Yes. Okay.
So where is that? I know it's not where you are in the forest. I mean, it's supposed to be, yes, I realize that, but I know you're not there. So where is that?
Okay, that's actually two locations. So you first
Two.
see the big, yeah, you see the big mansion house first, right? It's the
Yes.
first shot of the film. You see them walking in. That's the big old mansion house, which does exist. It was a big old stately home that was actually damaged by the BBC. They filmed something there and set it on fire. So a lot of it is destroyed, and the other half is used by the Freemasons. And we got permission to film there in that little cave that they walk into. And then when they come to the stairs going down, that was actually a bakery cafe basement. So one of the crew members worked in the cafe, and underneath was this basement, which you see them walking down them stairs and going into the basement where they perform that ritual, was all underneath a bakery cafe. So a completely different place than the stately home.
What a location. I got to give you full credit for finding that one. That is just beautiful.
These it's who you know, like basically, isn't it? So when you're in it low budget and you've got very, very little money to source these locations, it's like, what can we have that other people might not have be able to have? And then you use them.
Okay, and I put the maze. There's a maze in the film near the end. I don't want to talk more about it so people can see. Where is that?
Okay. That's actually again in the stately home. There's underneath that old, I mean, I don't know how old, hundreds of years old this stately home was. And like I say, it's been owned from the Freemasons for quite some time now. Underneath it had all these tunnels. And we got access to all the tunnels. So when they're running around and underneath and being chased by the Shimmyon and set up by the Shimmyon, it's all underneath this manor called, if you want to Google it, it's called Guy's Cliff in Warwick, is the actual building that where it is. And it's a fantastic location and added so much production value to these things. And then it was split between that and a place called the Lamp Works in Birmingham in the UK. So that was almost like a filmmaker hub type place, and they had a lot of brick walls and things like that. So it was a mix between the two. Again, one minute they're in Birmingham, the next minute they're in Warwick. It's all split across.
Nice work of editing that. Did not notice there was a change in locations
Yeah,
there.
it was all different location.
Okay, what was in the backpacks? They couldn't have been empty. Could you make them carry backpacks a lot? Is there anything in the backpacks?
Sleeping bags, the tent. I think they had water supplies. You mean in reality or in the film?
In reality.
Oh, in reality, yeah, just very, very little. It was the sleeping bags. I think one of them was carrying the tent, and bottles of water was attached to the side. But apart from that, it was just very, very basic stuff, very light, because they did a lot of walking up and down, up and down.
I found you got really close in on your actors a lot. I mean, obviously you're out far, and as the film closes in on us, you close in also. Was that always your plan to give me very tight shots? And then at the end of the film, you open up a bit more, I would say again. Was that the plan?
In all honesty, it was the plan because of the forest itself being so small. I couldn't have big wide shots, mainly because you could see that the exit was just there. So if I had a big wide shot, they go, "Oh, there you go. That's the way out of the forest." So I had to be quite close in the forest. But then when we got to the manor house, because then we had a 360 degree set, basically it was the case of, okay, now we can come out and show a bit of scale to that.
Okay, there's a scene with metal music and flashing lights. How did you like that?
How do we light that? Very basic. One major light acting as moonlight, and maybe a few wand lights, really, to just make sure that the actor's face is visible. We have to match the temperature to the moonlight. I know which one you mean. And then as they're running, and then the flashing was just done with a not Panasonic, a Nikon flash, you know, for a camera. So psh, flash. And at night time, that lights up the whole, you know, when everything's dark, a camera flash will light up everything. And then it was very, very simple. Like I say, one or two lights, potentially three, two wand lights, and one main moonlight would be the lighting for that scene.
I always have to ask, working with blood, how do you enjoy that?
Great. Loved it. It's
Sure.
A lot of it was fake blood, except one character's death, which I can't really say without spoiling it, but there
We're
was
not
one
spoiling
character.
anything. We've been very good about not doing that.
One character did have actual, I think it was pig guts splattered
Oh.
all over the floor. Yeah. Just to have that meatiness, there's got to be a meatiness about it. And it's hard to say without spoiling it, but yeah,
I like it. I like it.
there was real blood going on.
Okay, can I
Yeah.
get your favorite film, please?
Jaws.
Favorite horror film would still be Jaws, or do you have a different one?
I'm still a. I would class Jaws as a horror film, but if you
That's what
really
I
want
said.
a
I would too.
typical horror film, maybe I still like It, the original It. You know,
Yeah,
it
I know
was
what you're talking about.
Tim Curry. I thought he was fantastic in that. I did like the remake, but I preferred the original. There's quite a lot of horror films that I do like, and they're very, very different. The Insidious, the
Love
first one, I
Insidious.
thought was
Great film.
really, really,
Scared the
really good
crap out of
film.
me as a kid. Well, younger me.
I mean, quite often, the problem with horror is there's so many of them that I get through. A lot of them just sort of fade off into the background. I mean, growing up, Oh, here you go. Here's one for you. Bram Stoker's Dracula.
Yes.
I think that's a fantastic film. Yeah, there you go. That will be, apart from Jaws, I'll choose that as my thing. Or anything with Jack the Ripper in.
Your favorite English meal?
English meal's got to be chippy, so fish and chips. That's
Fair
very
enough.
English. Or I think a roast, or a Sunday roast.
I agree. Where can everybody find your films?
Okay, if you go to bardamediacic.com, all the links will be on there to the feature films. We've got Operation War Thunder, which is a comedy sci-fi, with an element of horror into that, actually. And then we're currently making The Mock of Everest, which is a horror western, which is back there. And we're currently in production of that, which is interesting, I guess, because it's obviously English people doing American history. And
Oh.
filming a Western in the middle of England has been fun. Yeah, you go on Barda Media CIC, you click on the creative page, and that's all the feature films that we do, all the links. Tubi, Amazon Prime, Apple TV, and most of the streaming platforms you'll find either The Shimmian and Operation War Thunder right now. I think Operation War Thunder is on YouTube. The YouTube channel or the YouTube movies as well. So you could watch that anywhere in the world.
Thank you for your time and have a great day.
And thank you very much. Thanks for having us.